waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis continues with the discussion from yesterday that we're deriving from tefillin, which women are exempt from, and is a time-bound mitzvah, that so too women should be exempt from all time-bound mitzvahs. However, the Gemara asks, seven lines down in the Gemara, V'adayov mi tefillin lepetura, negav mi simcha lechayuva. You're deriving from tefillin with a, Rashi says, a binyanav, a mematzinu, that just like tefillin, which is time-bound, women are exempt from, so too all time-bound mitzvahs. Why not learn from Simchas Yomtev, for the pasuk says in Parashas Re'eva, Samachta v'chagecha, ato vincha v'techa, v'almana asher b'sharecha, which clearly includes women, includes your daughter, includes an almana. Clearly women are chayv in Simcha, and Simcha is time-bound. It only applies on Yomtev, on Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos, debatable on Rosh Hashanah. But there is Simcha in Yomtev, that mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha, which women are chayiv in, and that's a time-bound mitzvah. Let's derive from Simchas Yomtiv that women should be chayiv in all time-bound mitzvahs. Ne'ev mi simcha l'chayuvah. So Amar Abaye explains, Isha baila misamcha. No, because a woman, her husband is going to be misameach her. It's not really her obligation in simcha. It's her husband's obligation to be misameach her. Rashi says we should really read it as visimachta. Not that you should be happy, but rather that he has an obligation to make her happy. So since it's not her personal obligation, she's not really obligated. It's the husband's obligation to be misameach her. We can't derive from there that women should be obligated in all time-bound mitzvahs. So frek the Gemara, if that's the case, almana ma'ikal ameimar, but the pasuk says, v'almana asher b'sharecha, you should be happy on Yom Tov, you, your son, your daughter, and the almana who's in your gates. So the almana has no husband. So who then is the pasuk referring to? It can't be referring to her husband. Must be it's the almana herself. Ma'ikal ameimar says the Gemara b'shruya etzloi. She's living there with you. Meaning, Rashi says, it's referring not to a literal almana, rather a poor person who's living with you. Look at Rashi b'shruya etzloi. Lanis tavisa he. She's not obligated. Elabaniya hakosam medaber. The pasuk's talking about an indigent person. Person has no money. V'nitztava mi shehi shruya etzloi, the balabas who she's living by is obligated to samcha mishaloi. She misameach her with what he has. B'maycho v'mishteh uvekli pishton, with food, with drink, and with clothing. So he's obligated to be misameach her. In fact, the Rambam has a famous comment in Hilchos Yom Tov that one shouldn't think that Simcha and Yom Tov will discuss what the parameters of it are. One shouldn't think that it just means to lock yourself in your house and with your family and be misameach together. Rather, the purpose of Simchas, or the real fulfillment of Simchas Yom Tov, says the Rambam, is when a person invites other people into his home, like with the Almana Hashriya Etzloi. And you misameach them, that's the fullest, the truest, the most complete fulfillment of Simchas Yom Tov, is to spread it to others. That's why, before the Seder on Pesach, some suggest we begin called the Chvin Yesevi Echo, called the Tzrich Yesevi Yisach. Anybody who wants to come should come and participate in our Seder. The question is if we really mean it. What if somebody would knock at the door at that point? Would we make a setting for him? But either way, whether we mean it or we don't mean it, but what it's driving at is that a real fulfillment, perhaps, of Simchas Yom Tov is to spread it to others. It's not a mitzvah tzedakah even. Perhaps it's a fulfillment of Simchas Yom Tov. Not to be misameach alone, but to be misameach others. So if that's the case, we understand why Shruya Etzloi, this indigent person, the poor person who's living with you, you have an obligation to be misameach them as well. But Rashi says, how are you misameach them? Rashi said, b'maycho u'b'mishteh, with food, with drink, and with clothing, klei pishton. That's how you misameach the almana Hashruya Etzloi. So Tosfos over here, in Isha Baila Misamcha, quotes Rashi, Perish Bekuntres, Ein Chayves HaSimcha Ba, it's not her mitzvah, Ela Al Baila Sheyis Mechana, it's her husband's obligation to be Mesameach her. So therefore we can't derive from here a rule that women should be Chayv and Mitzvah Sasesh, as my grandma. Almana Maikala Meimar, what can you say about an Almana? The Pasuk says, V'almana Asher B'Sharech, who is that referring to? Must be the woman herself. No perish the siv ba simcha the siv alevi vager by yosef almana. It includes the almana too. Umishani b'shriya etzloi. It means that she's living with you. This is the language of Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says you can fulfill simcha with any food, any drink, and clothing. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of simchas yamtiv. V'kashu Rabbeinu Tam. That's only bizman she'en beis hamikdash kayim, when there's no beis hamikdash. K'demukach ba'ar ve'psachim. What's the Gemara Mesechus Arvei Psachim? So look over here, Oysa Aleph. And the Sheets, the Gemara tells us the following. Tana Rabbonon. Chai v'adam m'sameach b'anav u'v'nevesa b'rego. You have to be m'sameach, your children, members of your household, on Yom Tov. Sh'nemar v'sameach tu b'chagecha, atu v'incha, itecha. You have to be m'sameach those in your home. V'ameh m'samcham. How are you m'sameach them? So it says the Tana, kama b'yayin. Wine. Everybody gets a cup of wine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, some kids might be happy with Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anashim b'roi lehem, Anashim b'roi lehem. No, everybody gets something that's tailored, that's appropriate for them. The men get something appropriate for them, the women something appropriate for them. Anashim b'roi lehem b'yayin. What's appropriate for men is wine. The Anashim b'mai, what's appropriate for the woman? Tani Rav Yosef b'vavel b'bigdei tzivonim. In Bavel they gave colored clothing. Beretz Yisrael, they pitched a mugotzin. In Eretz Yisrael was starch clothing. Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Serah, I'm Izman Shabbos Hamikdash Kaim Ein Simcha O BeBasar. When there's a base Hamikdash is Kaim, you can only fulfill Simcha with Basar. Shenamar v'zavach teshlom v'chal teshlom v'samach lefnei Hashem Aleikecha. At the time the base Hamikdash Kaim, you have to fulfill Simcha Siyam Tefhal with Shalmei Simcha. We mentioned yesterday that one of the three karbonos you had to bring when you came to the Bis HaMikdash every Yom Tif was Oilas Re'iyah. You had to bring a carbon oila to fulfill the pasuk Shalosh Pamim Bashani Reko Zechur Chas Mnei Hashem Aleikecha. There's Oilas Re'iyah. Then there was Shalmei Chagiga, a second carbon you used to have to bring to fulfill special halacha of Tachagli Bashana, that you're supposed to come and fulfill that carbon of Chagiga every Yom Tif. And then there was the Shalmei Simcha, V'samachta B'chagecha. Three karbonos, the Rambam says, at the beginning of Hilchas Chagiga, everybody would have to bring when they came to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. Arlis Re'iyah, Shalmei Chagiga, and Shalmei Simcha. So at the time that the Beis HaMikdash is Kayim, you would fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov by bringing a carbon shlamim and eating from the carbon shlamim. So bizman Beis HaMikdash Kayim ain Simcha u'abasa. Shenemar v'zavach t'shlamim v'chal t'shom v'samach t'lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Bring a carbon, eat it there, and that's how you fulfill Simcha. But now the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around. The only way you can fulfill Simcha and Yom Tif is with wine. Because wine cheers up those who are downtrodden. Okay, so the Gemara indicates how does one fulfill Simcha? You can fulfill Simcha only with wine when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Men with wine, women get other things with clothing. But that's only Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim, what does the Gemara say? How do you fulfill Simcha? You fulfill Simcha with Bisar Karbonos. So V'kashu L'Rabbeinu Tam, back in Tosfos, Dehayinu Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim. Then, yes, Isha Baila Misamcha, he has to provide her with clothing. K'demukha Ba'ar V'Bisachim D'Ka'amar, Anoshim B'Roi Elohem B'Yayim, Anoshim B'Roi Elohem B'Bigdei Tzivonim. V'ahu Milsa Lo'im Yitukma Elo Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim. That's only true when the Beis HaMikdash is not around, K'damar Hasam. The bizman hazeh ain simcha l'biyayin. Nowadays, there's only simcha with wine. Ava bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim ain simcha l'babasar. But at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was kayim, the only way you could fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yamtiv is with besar karbonos shenamar v'zavach t'shalom v'chal t'shalom v'samachta. So Tosfos kasha is, how can you say, Rashi interpret the Gemara to mean that isha b'ayla m'samcha, a husband has an obligation on yamtiv to be misameach his wife. Not that she has an independent obligation to be misameach herself. Husband has an obligation to be misameach her. It's not her obligation. Since it's not her obligation, we can't derive from here a rule that women are chayiv and mitzvah aseh shez my grandma. It's not her mitzvah. How is the husband misameach her? By giving her clothing. That makes her happy. But says Tosfos, that's only bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. Bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. Everybody had to come to the Beis HaMikdash, bring a carbon shlamim, and eat from the carbon shlamim. So it is her mitzvah. That's Tosfos' problem. Tosfos goes on to prove that women have to come every yontif on the three regalim to bring a carbon shlamim, to eat from the carbon shlamim. So two lines from the bottom of Tosfos. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam a different shot. The Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Isha Baila Mesamcha, B'Shal Mesimcha Shaloi. She has to come. She has to eat from the carbon shlamim. That's true. But she doesn't have to bring her own Shal Mesimcha. She can be yotzei with her husband. Shachayvim Hutelas Al Baila. He has the obligation to bring the carbon, not her. Even though she has an obligation to eat it. And she has an obligation to be there to eat it. So she does have some obligation here. It's not only on the husband. But since it's not only on her, her husband is the one who brings the carbon, even though she has an independent obligation to eat from it, but the husband brings the carbon. The almana goes together with the person whose house she's staying with, her sponsor. So then, but she doesn't have an independent obligation to bring the carbon. She doesn't have to bring her own carbon. So therefore, we can't derive from here a rule that women are chayv mitzvah say she has my grandma. Now, Taisa's pshat is a little difficult because women has an obligation to eat the carbon. She has an obligation to be there to eat the carbon, to go up in order to eat it. So she does have some independent obligation over here. Why can't we derive from that to exempt women from mitzvah say she has my grandma? To obligate women in mitzvah say she has my grandma based on the precedent that she has to go and eat from the carbon. But Taisa's interpreted the Gemara to mean that since she doesn't have an independent obligation to bring her own carbon, she's yaitzeh with the carbon of the husband. So therefore, we can't derive from here that women are obligated to mitzvah saseh she has my grandma. That's how Tosfos learned the Gemara. Tosfos, I think, is l'shitasai from a well-known Tosfos in Masechtas Moed Katan. Tosfos understood that you can only be yaitzeh with wine to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha by buying clothing for a woman, your wife, to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Bizman she Beis HaMikdash kaim, it's only Bisar Shalomim. So that's Tosfos L'shitasa from Tosfos Moed Katan. The Gemara tells us Moed Katan over here, Yadal Mebez. That there's no Avelus on Yom Tov. Avel eino noheg Avelusa b'rego. No Avelus on Yom Tov. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha, you should be happy on Yom Tov. I Avelus d'mei karo, osi asei d'rabim, v'dochi asei d'yochid. The Gemara says, why is there no Avelus on Yom Tov? Because the Yom Tov is an Aseh that applies to the entire Tzibur. And something that applies to the entire Tzibur is stronger, is more formidable, than something that only applies to you. So a person who is in Avelus, that's his own personal Avelus. Not talking about Churban Beis HaMikdash over here. We're talking about a guy who lost the Karav. So he's in his own personal Avelus. You have your personal Cheshbon. But there's a mitzvah here that's incumbent upon the entire tzibur, being happy on Yom Tov. So that chiyuv, that's mutal on the entire tzibur, to be happy on Yom Tov, pushes aside your own personal asay, your own personal mitzvah to be noeg avelus. That's how the Gemara said. That's why the Gemara says there's no avelus on Yom Tov. Asi asay the rabbin, v'dachi asay the yochin. So Taisus asks, why didn't the Gemara say a different reasoning for why there's no avelus on Yom Tov? Because Yom Tov is Deiraisa, Avelus is only Derabanan. Yom Tov is B'Samachtu B'Chagecha, Apostle and Parashas Re'eh, elsewhere. Why? That's Deiraisa, and Avelus is only Derabanan. So Tosfos says, must be, Mashma D'Avelus Ika Asei Deiraisa. Must be that Avelus also, the first day of Avelus is Deiraisa. That's a big Machlekes HaRishonim. If you were here for Ksubis, you might remember that or have nightmares about it. But that's the two, the Deyas and the Rishonim, is two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, is the first day of Avelus, if it comes together with Aninos, if that's the day of the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKfura, some hold that the Avelus that day is Deiraisa. So Tosfos says, must be like that opinion in Rishonim, that Avelus also is Deiraisa the first day. Midalei ka'amar v'dachi asei derabanan. Why not just say Simcha and Yom Tov is deraisa for sure? Certainly, v'samachta v'chagecha. Avelus is only derabanan. Asi deraisa v'dachi derabanan. Let a deraisa come and push aside the derabanan. Must be that there is Avelus deraisa. Must be Avelus Yermishin is deraisa. The truth of the matter is, you could have said that there is no such rule. The Rosh in Masechtas Ksubis, the Rosh in Moed Katan, quotes from the Bahag, the Baal HaLochas Gedolos, that said there is a rule like that. That if you have a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we discussed yesterday, Oisik b'mitzvah potam and a mitzvah, these type of things, or asei d'chaloi sesei. The Bahag claims there's another rule, that if you have an asei d'oraisa and an asei d'rabbanan, and they're competing, the asei d'oraisa trumps. And maybe it's intuitive, maybe it's logical. You have an Asei Deiraisa, Asei Derabbanan, and there's a conflict between them. The Asei Deiraisa should prevail. That's the rule of the Bahag. So therefore the Bahag said, if a person loses a karav le'aleinu on the second day of a yomtiv, yomtiv sheni. So even though there's no avelus on yomtiv, if it's avelus yom rishon, the day of the kvura, the day of the misa, the day of the kvura, then the avelus would be derech a yomtiv sheni. Why? Because a yomtiv sheni is only derabbanon. Maybe shema yaso devilu kokuo, the Gemara says, we keep yomtiv sheni because it's minag avoseinu biadenu. For whatever reason, Yom Tov Sheni is only the Rabbanan. But Avelus Yom Rishon could be Deiraisa. If that's the day that a person dies, that's the day that they're buried, the Avelus that day, the Nihuge Avelus are Deiraisa. So the Bahag argue that we should say, Asi Deiraisa V'dochi Derabbanan. The Asay of Avelus should put aside the Yom Tov Sheni Shogalias, which is only the Rabbanan. That was the argument of Bahag. Many, though, argued with the Bahag. This is a very controversial position of the Bahag. Taisus here is echoing the Bahag. There's such a rule that Deiraisa, Asi Asei Deiraisa, V'dochi Asei Derabbanan. But there are many questions on this Bahag. The first is from a Gemara Masechtas Ksubis. The Gemara says, look over here, Ay Zayin. The Gemara says, Hareshai Apitoi Afoi, person had his bread baked. The tivcha tavuach, the meat was shechted. The yein omozuk, the wine was already mixed for a wedding. Umeis oviv shachasan ima shokala, tragic circumstances occur. The father of the chasan, the mother of the kala, pass away. It's hard to carry on with the... it's going to be hard to arrange a wedding another time. So machnitzen es hameis lecheder, we put a sequester aside the mace into a different room. We bring the chasan and the kala to the chuppah. They get married. First the noyeg, the shivis yimei amishta, then the noyeg, the shivis yimei avelus. First shivis yimei amishta, then shivis yimei avelus. So how could that be? How could that be that first the noyeg, shivis yimei amishta, then shivis yimei avelus? According to the Bahag, as we explained already, avelus yom rishon is deiraisa. Here, this is the day that the guy died. He just died at the wedding. And then, we're going to bury him right away. What are we going to do? Right after Baal B'ilas Mitzvah perish, we're going to go bury him. They're going to keep Shivas Yimei HaMishta, then Shivas Yimei HaVelus. How can they keep Shivas Yimei HaMishta? Why does Yimei HaMishta push aside Yimei HaVelus? Yeah, HaVelus is Deiraisa. Shivas Yimei HaMishta, Sheva Brachis, is only Derabbanan. Shouldn't Avelus, Asi Asei Deiraisa, V'dochi Asei Derabbanan? Must be there is no such rule. That's the question that the Rishonim ask on the Bahag. That Asi Asei Deiraisa, there is no such rule, Asi Asei Deiraisa, V'dochi Asei Derabbanan. However, the Achronim defend the Bahag. The Pnei Yeshua and that Gemara Masechtas Ksubis is a truva like that in the Mishkanes Yaakov too, where they explain, no, it could be Shivas Yimei HaMishta is Deiraisa too. Maybe that's the case as well. Maybe the first day, at least, of Shivas Yimei HaMishta is Deiraisa. Maybe all 7 days. Because where do we derive Shivas Yimei HaMishta from? The Pasuk in Parashas Vayetze. After Yaakov Avinu realizes that he wakes up in the morning, you know, surprise, and it's Leah instead of Rachel. So he comes to love him with Tainas, Lama Rumi Sani, why did you do this to me? So Lavan tells him, well, Yasa came in Koimenu, let's say Satsiru, Lefnea Bechira. We don't do it like that, to marry the younger before the older. So then Yaakov demands to marry Rachel, the woman who he had contracted to marry in the first place. So Lavan tells him, Molei Shvua Zois, V'nitin Lucha Gamed Zois. Wait 7 days, and I'll let you marry Rachel. Wait 7 days, and then he'll work another 7 years, but wait 7 days, and then I'll let you marry Rachel. Why do you have to wait 7 days? So the Yishalmi says, Mesechtas Ksubis, that it's because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't allow you to interfere with the Sheva Brachas of Leah, to superimpose on it the Sheva Brachas of Rachel. What greater chutzpah could there be? What greater infringement on the Simcha of Leah could you have than by getting married to Rachel in the middle of Sheva Brachas to Leah? So Malei Shvua Zois V'nitna L'chol Gam Zois. He had to wait 7 days in order to marry Rachel. So perhaps you see from here that, and Yishalmi derives from here the concept that Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha itself might be a concept deraisa. The Bavli derives it not from here. The Bavli derives it from v'samachta b'chagecha v'loy b'ishtecha. You should be happy on Yom Tov with the Yom Tov, and not with your wedding, with your wife. You get married after Yom Tov. You're not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. That's a din deraisa. So if the Bavli learns it out v'samachta b'chagecha v'loy b'ishtecha, the Yerushalmi learns it out from Shever Brachas, if Racha and Leah couldn't overlap, maybe we see from here that Shever Brachas is itself a din deraisa. Because that's where the Yerushalmi learns out the rule of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Yerushalmi learned it out from the biblical source. So maybe Shever Brachas, we can somehow shtup in, somehow finagle that Shever Brachas is the Yerushalmi. Yeah.
Don't we always say when there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the
we pass it like the Bavli. Yeah, but at least you see from the Yerushalmi that maybe you see something Derech Agav. Maybe you see Shever Brachas is the Yerushalmi. There's another source that they have. Very creative sources. Pasuk says in Parshas Tazria that if a person has an eged saras, he goes to the kohen. So the Pasuk says, "Will be yom harois boy." On the day that the kohen sees it, he'll either declare a tummy or he'll declare a tar. So the Gemara comments, "Will be yom harois boy." On the day that he sees it, that it sounds like there are some days you don't look at eged saras. There's some days the kohen gives the guy a reprieve. We're not going to look at your negei tzaras today. You have amnesty from all your negei tzaras. We'll let it go. And unless the kohen sees it and declares it as tameh, it remains tar. It only becomes tameh if the kohen sees it and declares it as tameh. What is one of the days that there's a reprieve from all negei tzaras? We don't look at it. Is a chasan during Shavu Simei HaMishta, the Gemara says, we don't look at his negei tzaras. We give you a pass until afterwards. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Over Yom Haroi's boy, we don't look at the chasen during Shiva Simei HaMishta, we don't look at his negei tzaras. So maybe you see from here, there is a concept of Shever Brachas Midai Raisa. Okay, so maybe we can't prove from the Gemara Masechta Subis against the Bahag. Maybe there is a rule, Asi Dai Raisa, Vedachi Dai Rabbanon. There is a rule, if you have a conflict between a Mitzvah Dai Raisa and Mitzvah Dai Rabbanon, the Dai Raisa prevails over the Dai Rabbanon. It's intuitive like that, maybe. There's another kasha, though, that they ask. It's a very controversial position of the Bahag. Even though it seems so intuitive. You have a deraisa, you have a derabanan. Shouldn't you do the deraisa? They have another kasha from another famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta this Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin Mebeis, the Rebbe Lazar once came into shul. And there were only 9 men. Common problem, right? They needed a center, right? I have a cousin. You probably know him. Named Rebbe Center. He runs the Chavkei. Somehow a distant cousin of mine. So he told me he was once walking in Rabbi Harvey Center. He's the start of the Chavkei. So he was once walking in Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden someone comes out of, like one of these random, row houses in Yerushalayim, and he starts screaming, "Center, Center!" He's like, "How does he know my name?" His name is Center. Like, "How does he know my name? How does he know my name?" They realize, no, Center means a tenth. In Yiddish. He's screaming, "We need a tent, we need a tent, Center." He's like, "How do you know me?" Anyway, so the Rebbe Lazar was in shul. And they needed a center, they needed a tenth guy. So what did he do? And there are no options. What did they do? So he had an Eved with him, an Eved Kenayni. He freed the Eved Kenayni. Upon being freed, the Eved Kenayni becomes a full-fledged Yisrael. So he could count towards the minion. So he freed his Eved in order to count to the minion. So the Gemara asks, how are you able to do that? Pasuk says, "Lo'elam b'hem tavoidu." They should always serve you. You're not allowed to let an eved go free. So the Gemara says, "V'malkay mitzvah shiny." In order to fulfill a mitzvah of davening b'tzibor, it was allowed. So the Gemara says, "Well, it's a mitzvah b'avera. Your mitzvah came only by virtue of the fact you were by because you violated an avera." So the Gemara says, "Well, mitzvah derabim shiny. When you're doing a mitzvah derabim." Even that's allowed. What that Gemara means, why is it not a mitzvah above Aveira, we could spend, a week discussing that. Okay, fine, but that's the Gemara. So the Taisus there in Brachas asks in the Bahag, how can you, 1 minute, what do you have over here? You have lo'elam b'hem tavoidu, they should always serve, you should never free an Eved Kenayni, that's a mitzvah say deraisa. Davening with a minion, we need to have a shiur with that, that's all about, not derabanan or less. It's... Maybe it just helps your tefillahs be answered. Maybe it is a chiyuv derabanan. But at best, it's a chiyuv derabanan. Tefillah might all be derabanan. According to the Ramban, all tefillah is only derabanan. So it's derabanan. How then was Rabbi Elazar able to free his slave in order to complete the minyan? What shouldn't we have said? Asi asei d'irai sevedachi asei d'rabbanon. So Tosis kvetches over there. Tosis works to defend the Bahag. It's difficult to defend the Bahag. Anyway, this is Tosis' assumption over here in Ma'ikan. Tosis' assumption is that if Simcha and Yom Tov, that if there is Aseh D'Raisa, it should prevail over an Aseh D'Rabbanon. So getting back, so why is it that there's no Avelus on Yom Tov? We should have said, why does the Gemara have to say Asi Aseh D'Rabbanon V'dachi Aseh D'Yachid, a communal mitzvah Aseh of Yom Tov pushes aside your private mitzvah Aseh of Avelus? Say because Simcha and Yom Tov is D'Raisa, Avelus is only D'Rabbanon. So Taisa said, must be that Avelus is also D'Raisa. Must be. Because he's working with the assumption of the Bahag. The Bahag Achas Gedolus. But then Tosfos says, no, goes in the, switches course. Miu nearly, maybe you could say, Avelus is all the Rabbanon. Like the other opinion in Rishonim, there is no such thing as Avelus D'Raisa. But Simchas HaRegel Nami the Rabbanon. Simcha Bizman HaZeh is also only the Rabbanon. V'samachta Hainu B'Shalmei Simcha. Because how do you really fulfill Simcha in Yom Tov? By eating the Shalmei Simcha, the Karbanos. The time is Tosfos is claiming, maybe the Gemara is discussing, after Churban Beis Hamikdash, there is no more Simcha D'Raisa anymore. All we're left with is Simcha D'Rabbanon. So since Simcha and Yom Tov is only D'Rabbanon, Avelus is only D'Rabbanon, now we're dealing with things that are on par with one another. Why is there no Avelus then on Yom Tov? If both are only D'Rabbanon, that's why. The Gemara had to come up with the other reason, because one is communal, Asi Aseh D'Rabban, V'dachi Aseh D'Yachid. One is communal, one is private. But Tosfos clearly assumes that Simcha Bizman HaZeh without Shalmei Simcha is only D'Rabbanon. So the mitzvah that we discuss now, Bizmanenu, in the absence of Karbonos, without Shalmei Simcha, V'samachta B'chagecha, V'yisach, Sameach, all of these are only D'Rabbanon. Fulfilling it with wine, buying clothing for your wife, all of that is only D'Rabbanon. The real mitzvah, though, D'Raisa, is to eat Shalmei Simcha. That's Tosfos' opinion there, that's Tosfos' opinion here, too. Tosfos says the only time you could get away with wine or buying clothing for your wife is Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim. Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, you have to eat Shalmei Simcha, and that's why Tosfos had to figure out a separate explanation for our Gemara that the wife doesn't have to bring her own Shalmei Simcha, she can be Yotze with yours. However, perhaps Rashi disagreed with Tosfos, and that seems to be the opinion of the Rambam too, is that even Bizman Hazeh Simcha on Yom Tov is D'Raisa. Writes Rambam in Perek Vav Hilchos Yom Tov Halacha Yitzayin in the following: Alfa Pisha Simcha Mura Kanu Karban Shlomim. Even though your prototypical Simcha is with Karban Shlomim, Kamosha Anu Mevarim BeHilchos Chagiga. At the beginning of Hilchos Chagiga, the Rambam outlines for you all of the karbanos you have to bring every Yom Tov. But Yesh Bechlau. So that's ideal. We agree. The textbook definition of Simcha is Shalmei Simcha. However, Yesh Bechlau Oisa Simcha L'Smayachu Ubanav Nebei So Ko Echa Karoyloi. Included underneath that umbrella, that larger heading, is be mesameach all the members of your household with whatever makes them happy. Kesar haketanim noisim lahem kloyos agoyz and vigdanos. How do you do this with the children? You give them nutshells. I don't know what that. Now they're much more expensive gifts for children, but okay, you have to give them nutshells. Hanashim kindness lahem vigadim v'tashitim noam kifim amaynai. That's still the same. Women still get happy about that. You buy them clothing, as much as you can afford. V'anashim oichlem basa v'shoyse yayin. And men eat meat and they drink wine. She'ein simcha l'bebasa v'ein simcha l'beyayin. So the Rambam feels, even though, yes, your typical or, ideal form of simcha and yamtav is by eating shalmei simcha, but there are other things included underneath that heading, and it would also be simcha d'raisa. The Rambam never mentions that that's only d'rabbanan. This is also a fulfillment of the mitzvah d'raisa v'samachta b'chagecha to do these other things. To buy the clothing for the women, the toys for the children, basa v'yayin, nice bottle of wine. All of these things are a fulfillment of simcha d'raisa. And that's probably how Rashi learned. Rashi learned too. Rashi said, Isha, buy the misamcha. A wife, her husband, misameach her, means he has to buy her things. She doesn't have to eat from the shalmei simcha. That is one way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Simcha Yom Tov, but another biblical deraisa way of fulfilling Simcha Yom Tov is by buying her clothing. She doesn't have to do it herself, though. That's the husband's obligation that he has to provide for her. V'simachta b'chagecha. He should make her happy on Yom Tov. Maybe the whole mitzvah on Simcha Yom Tov is to make others happy, which is a big Musar statement. Not by making ourselves happy, but making others happy, as we began with. But anyway, it's the husband's obligation to buy it for her, huh?
Why do we know this clothing? And why is it deraisa clothing?
That's what typically makes women happy. Jewelry, noch besser, but certainly clothing. Still true. Still true. You don't need to study, scientific studies necessary. But how could that be? 1 minute. So according to the Rambam, what is the Pasuk describing, though? What is the Pasuk describing? According to Rashi, the Rambam, what is the Pasuk describing? The Rambam told us. Eating shalmei simcha. Eating karbonos bezman shebeis hamikdash kayim. If you can't eat karbonos, so maybe even if you can, but you don't enjoy karbonos, what can you do? You can have basav yayin, women with clothing, the children with the toys. I don't understand, but the Pasuk is talking about eating shalmei simcha. How did the Rambam know to make this expansive category that you don't have to? It's lav davka. This Pasuk is lav davka. What do you mean the Pasuk is lav davka? The Pasuk says, shalmei simcha, v'samach v'savachta v'chalta shom, v'samach v'fnei Hashem aleikecha. And that's referring to shalmei simcha. How did the Rambam know that midoy raisa? Taisa says that everything else is derabbanan. Okay, that's, strict reading of the Pasuk. How did the Rambam know that it's in this expansive category? Well, it's lav davka eating basar bsar karbonos. Midoy raisa, you could fulfill it by getting a dress. Midoy raisa, you can fulfill it by buying a game for your kids. Midoy raisa, you can fulfill it by a nice bottle of Merlot. How could this be included in the mitzvah midoy raisa? So Soloveitchik explained for the Rambam, many others have a similar explanation too, and that is that the Rambam must feel that the mitzvah of simcha and yom tov is not linked to any activity per se. It's not to perform a certain activity, do X, Y, and Z, and then you will be happy. You know, like they kind of force it down your throat. Now you're happy. No, the mitzvah of simcha and yom tov is to experience an emotional experience of being besimcha, of being happy. So we could discuss what being happy means, but not for now. But what it means is to generate that emotion of simcha, of standing before Kadosh Baruch Hu, feeling that a person is doing what he's supposed to be doing, fulfilling his religious tafkid in life. When he feels that sense of fulfillment, that simcha of standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has fulfilled the mitzvah of simcha and yom tov. And whatever generates that sensation, that feeling, that emotion, that experience, then he's fulfilled the mitzvah of simcha and yom tov. But the Rambam understood that it was an emotional experience. It was not a state of being. It was not to do certain or prescribed actions. It's whatever generates that emotional experience. Perhaps there's a raya to this pshat from the Rambam's position with regards to the first night of Yom Tov. The Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim and Dafai now from an Aleph over here, it's Dalid, that there's no chiyuv of simcha on the first night of Yom Tov. And it's obvious. Why is there no chiyuv of simcha the first night of Yom Tov? What do we say is simcha? What do we say is simcha? Eating b'sar karbonos. When do you shech karbonos? By yoim. You're not allowed to shech karbonos at night. So first night sukkahs. Do you have any b'sar karbonos around to eat? No. They don't exist. Why? You're only shechting shalmei simcha when? Yom Tov. That's not the 14th of Tishrei. That's the 15th and beyond. Can you shech it the night of the 15th? No. There's no kasher, there's no shalmei simcha the night of the 15th. It can't be. It's not around. So therefore the Gemara says, Vayisa ach sameach. You should be happy. That's by Sukkis. The rabbi is lele yom tov ha'akron l'simcha. It's coming to include Shmini Atzeres. Atoim lele yom tov ha'akron. Why say it's coming to include Shmini Atzeres? So any lele yom tov ha'rishon. Maybe it's coming to include the first night. Tamalai ma'achilek. Now, Ach tells you to exclude something. What's it excluding? The first night of Yom Tov. Why? Sigmar goes on to explain, because there's no Yom Tov before it. There's no carbon, there's no meat around. There's no Shami Simcha. How could you fulfill Simcha at night? It's just simply impossible. So there's no Simcha on the first night of Yom Tov. However, the Emek Bracha, that's Rav Ari Pomeranchik, was a Talmud of the Briskarov. We've mentioned him before. So he has in his Sefer Emek Bracha, he notes that the Rambam left this halacha out. He never quotes it. That there's no chiv of simcha first night of Yom Tov of Sukkos. Never mentioned it. HaRambam hishmit din zed belele Yom Tov harishon leka chiv simcha. So the Shagas Aryeh disagrees. Shagas Aryeh says, no, the Rambam made a mistake. Of course there's no mitzvah of simcha first night of Yom Tov. The Gemara just told us, I now from an Aleph, Pesachim. There's no chiv of simcha first night of Yom Tov. That's why, parenthetically, we'll get to it in a second. That's why some people eat milchiks first night Shavuos. Why? There's no chiv of simcha lele yom tov harishon shel chag. So if you're going to have milchiks, the first night Shavuos is the best time. There's no chiv of simcha in, and people want to eat maybe sukkahs too, but there's no chiv of simcha first night of yom tov, the Gemara said, and it's coming to exclude lele yom tov harishon shel chag. Because there's no shalmei simcha around. Must be there's no chiv of simcha that night, so why not have milchiks too? Why not milchiks? No chiv of simcha anyway. However, the Rambam never made that exclusion. The Rambam doesn't have it. The Rambam seems to assume that the mitzvah of simcha is enforced even the first night of Yom Tov. V'tiritz al zeh mar nagrach kos tei mekbrach in the name of Reb Chaim dehad in ismait lele Yom Tov harishu misimcha anudamcha simcha shalmei simcha. The Gemara only meant that you're excluded from the karbonos. The mikveh they ain't simcha lefun. Avedim achuyev lizbarach be'erev Yom Tov shalmei simcha dey lo'achem v'lesmarach behem. Belayla. There's no obligation to shecht karbonos during the day to have it around at night. And you can't shecht at night. You don't bring karbonos at night. Aval mishar mine simchos anoshim b'ray lehem b'yayim v'noshim b'gdei tzivayim. But other manners of simcha, men with baser and wine, women with clothing, da'avunami min ha-torah lo'in esmat v'kayovim b'hem b'fi le'le yom tov rishon. Yechayiv even on the first night of Yom Tov. That should also exist. So yes, according to the Rambam, since simcha is not limited to these specific activities, it's in order to generate a chiyu, you know, this emotional experience of being lifnei Hashem, of fulfilling your religious tafkin in life, whatever you want to define simcha, but that emotional experience of being besimcha in Yom Tov, generating it, that is the mitzvah. But how you generate it is not prescribed, but not limited to certain activities. It's not limited to shalmei simcha. So even though the first night of Yom Tov there are no shalmei simcha, you can have simcha in Yom Tov in different ways. Men with baser and wine, women with the clothing, the children with the toys. So that's why the Rambam never mentioned the exclusion of the first night of Yom Tov. Yeah.
When the Gemara started, it said like part of the reason that we can't use simcha and Yom Tov as like an archetype is because like it's the, really the man being like
himself. Right.
So like the Rambam he may say it's different not in the way that the man is misamed her, but like also because there's no like. Specified action.
I don't think so, because the Gemara didn't say it. The Gemara didn't say because it's not limited to spill gag. The Gemara said it's the husband's obligation to be Sameach her. And Rashi explained how? By buying her clothing. So I said, what are you talking about? She has to come and eat her own karbonos. The clothing thing was a later development. So Rashi and the Rambam said, no, that's not a later development. The real obligation is for the husband to generate the emotional experience for the wife. It's my obligation to make sure that the people of my household are b'simcha. But it's not her obligation. How do you know? Because the husband's obligation is to buy her clothing. Taisa said, what are you talking about? It was a later creation, midrabbanan, when we had no more shalmei simcha. The Rambam and Rashi say, no. That itself is the real mitzvah deraisa, of being b'simcha and yantiv.
But it's still the man's regard.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, just because it's a mitzvah of simcha on the first night of yantiv, not like the Shagas Aryeh, we understood, according to the Rambam, there's no karbonos, but you can fulfill it in other ways. Doesn't mean you have to fulfill simcha every meal on Yom Tov. You're supposed to really have baser and wine. So does that mean once over the course of a whole Yom Tov you should have baser v'yayin? Or at every meal you need to have baser v'yayin? Or maybe once a day. Is it once a day? Is it every meal? Each one of these things are debated by the Achronim. Could be there's a difference between Sukkot and Pesach. As we know, Sukkot you say Halal Shalem, because every day of Sukkot there were new karbonos. Whereas Pesach, there's no Halal Shalem, the Gemara explains, because it wasn't Chaluk B'Karbon, I say, and they brought one carbon for all of Yom Tov. But presumably, at least on Pesach, at least on Shavuos, it's enough to do this once. You don't have to do this at every meal. So even if there is a the Simcha D'Oraisa by Basar and Yayin, doesn't necessarily mean it has to be at every meal. You have to sit there drinking a ravias of wine and eating kazais of flesh. It could be that you could fulfill it in other way. It's only once over Yom Tov. It doesn't necessarily have to be at every meal. Yeah.
The Rambam really holds that that simcha is related to the state. Then why is it ideal to have the korban?
It might not even be. It's only. So let's get. If you still have your question in a minute, we'll get back to it. But the Rambam added one second. Let's look back at the Gemara. Everybody said we can't ignore the Gemara. What did the Gemara say? Nowadays, if there's no carbon shlamim, what do you do? What do the men do, at least? What do you do? Yayin. Ein simcha l'b'yayin. Yayin yismach l'vav enosh. What did the Rambam say? Rambam added. He added the meat. He said, ein simcha Ela bebosar vein simcha lebiyayin. That's the Rambam at the last line, Perek Bav, Hilchos Yom Tov, Lachi Yitzayin. So where did the Rambam get the meat from? So the Beis Yosef asks in the Rambam, V'yesh l'tmur ha-Rambam, Lama hitzur sheyoichlu bosar v'yishtu yayin, that we write the Katan to his man as ein simcha lebiyayin. Mashma de biyayin sagi beloi bosar. Sounds like from here, it's enough with wine, you don't need meat. And so machlaik is in the Mishnah Berurah, steer in the Mishnah Berurah, how we should paskin. Do you need to have, there's a mitzvah of simcha now, according to Taisus Darabanan, according to the Rambam Deiraisa, you have to have something. What do you have to have on Yom Tov? Maybe once, maybe more than once, every day, maybe every meal. But what is it? What do you have to have? So according to the Rambam, you have to have meat and wine. According to the Gemara, it was enough with wine. So the Beis Yosef said, where did the Rambam get the meat from? Perhaps the Rambam understood that it's because this is all derived from Basar Karbonos. So why is Basar Karbonos, the Basar of the Shalmei Simcha, the ideal form of Simcha and Yom Tov? Perhaps it's because most people enjoy meat. That's the way it is, Rabbi is saying. Most people, you take them out to a fleshic restaurant, unless they're on a diet or some health restriction, you ask most people, honestly, in a moment of truth, would you rather have, it was a good steak, not a fatty steak, middle cut, filet, what would you rather have, that or the basil chicken? What are most people going to choose? That or the sea bass? I have a few, fishy people. Okay, fine, but Lamaisa, most people, if we'd have to argue, what most people would enjoy, it's that. So the Rambam understood, ain't simcha b'basar, ain't simcha b'yayin, because the real mitzvah was basar. That was the Shalmei Simcha, and the Rambam integrated it all. The Gemara Pesachim, together with the ideal form of the mitzvah, the Rambam understood they're really all one thing. So the Rambam blended the two together. The chiyuv of Simcha includes wine, yayin nismach levav enosh. Most people enjoy that too, and most people enjoy basar. So if you have the basar kabbanah, you really could be yaitzim with that. If all you enjoy is the wine, you could be yaitzim with that. But the Rambam understood most people enjoy. If you'd ask them what your ideal suda would be, is basar v'yayin. So that's why the Rambam included both. What if a person, though, doesn't like basar v'yayin? Always have a yaitzim and a yaitzim doifen. Most people enjoy it, but some people don't. So can you fulfill Simcha and Yom Tov with milchiks? Can you fulfill Simcha and Yom Tov with fish? So the Darkei Tshuva is like a post-Pisrei Tshuva. It was written by the Munkacher Rebbe. So the Darkei Tshuva, which is a collection of Shaios and Tshuvas on Yeridea, quotes a big machlekes achronim about this. The Shagas Aryeh held, according to the Rambam, you could fulfill it however you want. We just got through saying, whatever generates that emotional experience for you. If you hate meat, you hate wine, it's not going to generate a chiyuv of simcha and Yom Tov, so therefore you can fulfill it with milchis, you can fulfill it with fish, you can fulfill it with something else. And then he quotes from the Divrei Chaim from the Tzanzarov that no, it has to dafka be basar, it has to dafka be yayin. For men, it's dafka basar v'yayin. Why? Why does it have to dafka be basar v'yayin? So I think what he's probably arguing is that that's what most people like. So even though that's not what you like, but your batel diet is the das kol b'nei adam. We have concept like that and elsewhere in halacha. That if you're odd, you don't fit into the general boxes that we like to put people into. So then, okay, batel diet is the das kol b'nei adam. Your batel, this becomes the formal way of fulfilling the mitzvahs, batel b'yayin. That's what most people like. If you don't like it, we're not going to make accommodation in the Torah, chol echa v'yechad. You have to fulfill it in the formal way of doing it, which is b'basar v'yayin. That was the opinion of the Divrei Chaim. And the Shagas Aryeh said, no, it's whatever generates that chiyuv of simcha for you, as we've been trying to explain, so then you can fulfill it in other ways as well. So according to the Shagas Aryeh, you have a little bit more latitude on a Yom Tov to fulfill simcha on Yom Tov with milchiks, fulfill it with fish, something else. Doesn't necessarily have to be with fleishiks. The Divrei Chaim disagreed. He says it has to dafka be fleishiks. And in fact, the Yad Ephraim is a commentary in the side of Shulchan Aruch and Simon Aleph and Yeridea and Hilchos Shechita writes that Psar Oif is not good enough either. Chicken's no good. It has to be Psar Behema. Steak. We understand where he's coming from. Most people enjoy steak. If you'd ask them, which do you prefer, the chicken or the steak? Most people enjoy the steak. That's Lamaisa the way it is. So, health, price, other things come into play. But when people order at a restaurant, but Lamaisa is, most people would enjoy a steak. A good steak more than Psar Oif. So therefore, we would say Batel Daitz is the Das Kol B'nei Adam, and that's the ideal way of performing Simcha and Yom Tov. That's the opinion of the Reich Haim. The Shagazari holds, no, it depends what you want. It depends what you enjoy. If you don't enjoy the meat, or you don't enjoy the meat right now, or you don't enjoy the meat because it's gonna, you're going to feel guilty after Yantif, or it's going to ruin your diet, you don't enjoy, you're not going to be in a state of Simcha. So then you can fulfill Simcha and Yantif in a different way. Whatever generates that emotional experience for a person. Some even take the Divrei Chaim way too far, in my opinion. I think the Divrei Chaim itself is a stretch, if I haven't given you that indication. Really? Everyone has to have it. We've been explaining that according to the Rambam, this is like it's an emotional experience is what it's focused on, not on specific actions. But even if you could accept the Divrei Chaim, some extend it even further to a bris. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vayera that when Avram Avinu gives a bris to Yitzchak, that Avram made a great mishteh on the day that he weaned Yitzchak on the day that he made a bris for him. So the Pirkei de Rav Elazar, Tosfos quotes in the Masechta Shabbos and Parak Rav Elazar, the Mila said there's an obligation to make a suda on the day of a bris mila, based on the fact that Avram made a suda for Yitzchak, and there's a chiyuv of simcha at that suda, because the pasuk says, Tehillim sasa noichi al imra secha kamaitze shalo rav. I'm so overjoyed with your Torah, like a person who found a great treasure. And the Gemara assumes that that pasuk is referring to Mila. And we started doing it b'simcha. We continue to do it b'simcha. Sasa nochi alum asecha kamoitze shalom rav refers to the to Mila. That's a pasuk also. Yehudim ha'isa arav b'simcha v'sasa in bikar. Sasa, the Gemara says, refers to bris Mila. So there's a chiyuv of simcha to bris Mila. So what do you say? Do you have to have the same shaila as Yantif? So do you have to have fleishiks and wine by bris? So Shechter argues you do. You have to have every bris, no matter what time of day it is. You know, most people wouldn't enjoy fleishiks at that time. You have to have fleishiks and wine by a bris. Lamaisa, because he's a cheshish for the Divrei Chaim. Then we say, even though you don't enjoy fleishiks, you'd rather have milchiks. Too bad, you have to eat it. You know, so you're not allergic, you're not going to get sick or anything. You don't really enjoy it. And so what that you don't enjoy it at 6:45 in the morning? Let my bottle die. It's the last company of the bottle, 6:45 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. So when I was in his shir, when I was in Shechter shir, and the chever was making brisim for some of the, so there was always one table had the tuna fish and the bagels and the lox, and there was always one table set aside with the cold cuts and the wine and the, even though I didn't, you know, by the Umas Ha'olam, they all eat fleishiks by breakfast. They're having with the sausage and the bacon. But I don't know, for some reason to have cholent and cold cuts by breakfast doesn't seem, most people are. In Eretz Yisrael it's done, it's commonplace. But in Eretz Yisrael, a suda for a bris mila is much later in the day. If you've ever been to a bris in Eretz Yisrael, it's much later. They don't do it at 6, no one's running to work, but they don't do it at 6:45 in the morning. They do it much later. So you do it much later, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30, the ready time for cholent. So then you can do it. But to do it here in America, where most people are getting nauseous by seeing the cold cuts, in my opinion, that's really, you know, to take this argument to not only batel daitzah as the das kol b'nei adam, you're not interested in having it, but batel 6:45 in the morning to later on in the afternoon, that this is the definition of simcha, I find it a hard argument to make. Like the Shagas Aryeh, most people enjoy. That's what the Rambam said. This is the women have their own rule. The men, the children have. The women get the clothing, the children get the toys, the men are basa v'yayin, and I agree, that's true for most men, you know, that is true, but that's later on in the day, and then there might be exceptions to the rule. If it doesn't bring you enjoyment, there should be no worse than a different category of people who don't enjoy basa v'yayin. You don't have to have that in order to fulfill simcha and yantif. And certainly if a person feels, you know, four meals of meat and wine in a row, you know, whether you have to do this at every meal, we already said, is a suffering. And every, already four or five meals of basa v'yayin is already, you know, at that certain point is diminishing returns. So a person wants to have one milchik meal or other milchik meals throughout yantif, I don't see the great problem with it. But I do, this is something that I think it is important, some people when they serve milchiks on yantif, so they kind of like take a meal off. We'll have, you know, have grilled cheese sandwiches. That's not good for Sudas Yom Tov. It's supposed to be besimcha, so you enjoy something else. So serve chili and sea bass. Okay, you want to serve sea bass. Okay, gesund. You want to serve lasagna and this and that. Whatever you would go to a restaurant and order, you know, when you're maxing out. So then that's what you should have on Yom Tov. Milkshakes and milkshakes. Fish. But there's no meals off on a Yom Tov. Either way, there's simcha on Yom Tov. It shouldn't then covered Yom Tov. So to take the easy route and think you could just have, you know, slap together a peanut butter, a tuna fish sandwich, and be mitzvah Yom Tov, I don't think is right. Because this is the nature of simcha and Yom Tov, is to generate this simcha belay. So perhaps that's why it conflicts so strongly with Avelus. The Gemara told us over here, Mesechtas Ksubis, getting back to that Gemara we mentioned earlier, the Gemara says a person has the tragic circumstances of in the day of his chasana, his parent passes away. So the Gemara told us what you should do, the procedure you should follow. Machnisin has a mace lechedev, has a chasim, has a kala lechuppah. You put the mace in one room, the chasim and the kala go in the other room, they get married, boil, bilas mitzvah, perish. They have a bias mitzvah, then they separate from one another. Then noyek shivisimei amishah, akak noyek shivisimei avelus. They keep the shivisimei amishah, then they keep the 7 days of avelus. But kol oisin hayomim, after the bias mitzvah, they live separately. Hayomim hu yashin beinu anoshim, v'hi yashin beinu anoshim. They're not even allowed to have yichud with one another. He lives in one place, she lives in someplace else. So again, just realize what's taking place. They're having bias mitzvah for 14 days now. The shivisimei amishah, shivisimei avelus, they're living separated from one another. So Amar Mar, see Gemara comments on this. Who Yashin Bein Anashim? He Yashin Bein Anashim. He sleeps amongst the men. She sleeps amongst the women. Misayeya Leila Rabbi Yochanan. This is a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Afal Pisha Amru Ein Avelus B'Moed. Even though the Gemara told us in Moed Kain, there's no Avelus on Yom Tov. About Dvarim Shaltzina Noyeg. Private matters like Tashmish Amita do apply on Yom Tov. Dvarim Shaltzina are Noyeg. Even though there's no avelus on a Yom Tov, dvarim shaltzina are noig. If a person loses a karev on Yom Tov, he's buried on Chol HaMoed, and then you have Shmini Atzeres, so even though there's no avelus on Yom Tov, but dvarim shaltzina are noig. That's the Gemara. However, if you look in the Rambam doesn't subscribe to that. The writes the Rambam, Perek Yud Hilchosav, Halacha Gimel. Harigalim, v'chein Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim, Ein davar midivrei avelus noyeg bohen. Garnish mit avelus. No avelus. Even if you buried the mace the day before, Chol HaMoed, next day, no avelus. Dvarim shaltzina are not noyeg. Nothing. How do you get away with that? The Gemara said dvarim shaltzina are noyeg. Just like the chasan, during his shivis yimei hamishter, which is like his regel, has to be separated from the kala after the bias mitzvah, so too, and a Yom Tov, Dvarim Shaltzina are noyeg. So the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam has two gear souls in that Gemara. V'dvarim Shabitzina loy mi boy b'Shabbos de noyeg, afil b'regel noyeg, says the Ramban. Certainly if Shabbos during Shiva, they're not allowed to have Tashma Shamita, Dvarim Shaltzina, private matters, there is Avelos. But even on a Yom Tov too, the Garcinum, a parak b'sula nisseis, misayel, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, afil b'Shamu, and Avelos b'moyed, about Dvarim Shaltzina noyeg. The Ramban had our gear soul. Just like the chasan separates from the kala during Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, so to a person loses a karav on Yom Tov, dvarim shaltzina are noyeg. But yesh shegoyres, he says, there's some of the girsa, af al pi sha'amu ein avelus b'Shabbos, aval dvarim shaltzina are noyeg on Shabbos. Only on Shabbos during Shiva. It happens every Shiva, there's a Shabbos. Umefari shedavka b'Shabbos. Only Shabbos, not Yom Tov. Because Shabbos doesn't break Shiva, as we all know. If a person buries a karev even 1 minute before Yom Tov, that cancels Shiva. So since Yom Tov cancels Shiva, there's no Dvarim Shaltzina. Nothing. Even if you bury on Yom Tov, there's no Dvarim Shaltzina. Even though you buried first day Chol HaMoed, which is the worst possible situation, because then a person has to keep Shiva after Yom Tov. Yom Tov doesn't cancel Shiva. It's only if you started Shiva before, Yom Tov cancels Shiva. But if you started Shiva during Yom Tov, so you have to wait the whole day all of Yom Tov, and then afterwards you have Shiva. What about in the interim? Says the Rambam, Dvarim Shaltzina are not noyeg. Because if it would have been before Yom Tov would have canceled it. Now that it happens on Yom Tov, there's no Dvarim Shaltzina garnished. Where Shabbos falls out during every Shiva. Shabbos doesn't cancel Shiva, But Dvaram Shel Tzinah are noeg. Why does the Rambam feel that Dvaram Shel Tzinah are not noeg? The Ramban said, one minute, but we know this is for sure. The chasan, when he gets married, the parent who just passed away, he has to separate from the kala. So look at the Ramban, the second to the last line. Barei ha-kaiver meisa b'soich yom chupasai. Person buries his mace on his wedding day. Ka-kaiver b'soich ha-regal domi. That's the same as burying on Yom Tov. Sha'af heim in an oil in kirigolim. It doesn't count. You have to keep 7 days of avelus after. It doesn't cancel shiva. V'af al-pike noeg v'tzina. Nonetheless, the chasan has to separate from the kala. So if the chasan has to separate from the kala during his personal Yom Tov of Shiva Simei HaMishteh, and it doesn't cancel Shiva. Why is Dvarim Shel Tzinah Noeg? V'zu Rai Gemura. It doesn't count towards the Shiva Simei HaMishteh, Shiva Simei HaVeilos. You have to count Shiva Simei HaVeilos after. Shabbos counts towards HaVeilos, so Dvarim Shel Tzinah Noeg. Yom Tov doesn't count towards HaVeilos. Yom Tov gets pushed off after, HaVeilos gets pushed off till after Yom Tov. So if Dvarim Shel Tzinah is noeg for the chasan, why shouldn't it be noeg on Yom Tov? If you bury a mace on Yom Tov, there should be Dvarim Shel Tzinah, just like the chasan, who buried a mace on his day of his chuppah, which Avelos gets pushed off to after, he has to be noeg Dvarim Shel Tzinah. So Rav Shmuel Rezavsky explains in the Chidush Ma'amasechtes Ksubis that there's a difference. No. He says the chasan, during his Yemei HaMishteh, he has an obligation to do certain activities to make his wife happy, to be besimcha. It's not a hargoshes halev. It's not that he has to experience an emotional experience of being a Fnei Hashem, fulfilling his religious calling in life, that he's fulfilling his purpose in this world. That's not the Simcha of a Chassan. Simcha of a Chassan is to do certain activities that demonstrate that he's besimcha, make his wife happy, etc. But it's limited to certain activities. So therefore, says of Shmuel, the Rambam feels there, he could be noeg Dvarim Shel Tzinah. It's not a stira to his simcha on Shiva Simei HaMishteh to be noeg Avelus. However, Yom Tov is to be besimcha in your heart. It's an emotional high, says Rav Shmuel Rezavsky. So if that's the case, so you can't be noeg Dvarim Shel Tzinah. How could I have avelos, two emotions expressing itself, even though we experience many emotions at the same time, but these emotions are mutually exclusive. You cannot be besimcha in Yom Tov in the proper fashion if a person is being noeg Dvarim Shel Tzinah of avelos in the back of his mind. The two can't coexist. You can't have the both. They're taking up the same space. So therefore, the Rambam feels when it comes to Simcha and Yom Tov, Simcha and Yom Tov is different than the Simcha V'Chasan. Simcha V'Chasan is limited to certain activities, prescribed activities that he has to do. Simcha and Yom Tov is not. Simcha and Yom Tov is this emotional experience as we described. So that can't coexist with Avelos. That's what the Rambam feels. That's why Shiva of Yom Tov cancels Shiva. Why does Yom Tov cancel Shiva, not Shabbos? Because on Yom Tov, there's an emotional experience of being besimcha. On Shabbos, there's elements of simcha too. You have to have a meal, you have to be covered Shabbos, einik Shabbos. But there's no emotional experience of being besimcha on Shabbos. Whereas on Yom Tov, there is that emotional experience, and that cannot coexist together with Avelos. So that's why the Rambam feels, the Rambam Shel Tzinah are not noeg on Yom Tov either. There's no private manners, private kiyumim of Avelos, because it can't coexist. That emotional experience of Avelos can't coexist with the emotional experience of a Yom Tov. As opposed to a Chasan, kind of Dvarim Shel Tzinah is limited to certain activities, being besimcha, but not, you don't have that same emotional experience component attached to it. Okay, Shkayim Shalom. Tomorrow, Tamir Tashem, Chumash, 11:45.